You know that feeling when you step through the jet bridge door and realize the aircraft is bigger than you expected? You glance left, then right, and the cabin opens up in a way that a 737 doesn't. Two aisles, a ceiling that doesn't make you feel like you're inside a submarine. I've had that moment, most pilots have. And in 2026, more passengers are going to have it too, because Delta Airlines just made history with the largest domestic deployment of wide-body aircraft it has ever run. I'm Tower, this is ATIS on Radio Hangar, and today we're talking about what's happening on Delta's domestic network this summer. What it means for passengers, what it means for pilots, and why the aircraft side of this story is more interesting than the travel hack headlines suggest. Before we dig in, a word from today's sponsor. ATIS is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. These are aviation challenge coins built for the milestones that mean something. First solo, instrument rating, airline transport pilot certificate. Every coin marks something you earned. AviationSoul.com. All right. Back to Delta. Here's the situation. Starting with Delta's June schedule, the airline has deployed its long-haul international aircraft, Airbus A350 jets and Boeing 767-400s, onto select domestic routes at a scale the carrier has never attempted before. We're talking routes like New York JFK to Los Angeles, JFK to San Francisco, and a handful of other transcontinental corridors that Delta has decided deserve something more than a narrow-body Airbus or a 737. And when Simple Flying says this is the largest domestic deployment of lie-flat seats in Delta's history, they mean it in terms of raw seat count, the number of Delta One lie-flat suites available on domestic routes at any given time. That number hit a new peak this summer. Now, from a pure aviation standpoint, this is worth understanding, not just as a passenger, but as someone who cares about aircraft and how airlines deploy their fleets. A wide-body aircraft is, by definition, a jet with two aisles. Your typical domestic narrow-body, a 737, an A320, has one aisle, five or six seats across. Wide-bodies were designed for transoceanic range and passenger volume. The A350 that Delta flies from Atlanta to Amsterdam or New York to Paris has the range to fly 12, 13 hours nonstop. It burns more fuel, needs a larger crew, requires a wider gate, and costs more per block hour to operate. So why would Delta put one on a five-hour domestic turn? The answer is strategy, specifically, seat mix and revenue strategy. Delta's wide-body aircraft carry a product called Delta One. That's their lie-flat business class cabin, full flat beds, direct aisle access in most configurations, the whole premium experience. On international routes, Delta sells Delta One seats for several thousand dollars. But when that same aircraft operates domestically, the airline can sell those seats at whatever price the domestic market will bear. And the domestic premium market right now is strong. Transcontinental travelers have shown a consistent willingness to pay for comfort on a five-hour flight. Delta knows this. United has known it for years on their Polaris-configured aircraft on routes out of Newark and Chicago. American has known it on their flagship routes out of JFK. The premium transcontinental cabin has become its own product category, and the carriers that serve it best are winning business accounts and high-frequency flyers. But here's the piece that Simple Flying flagged, and the part that catches your attention as someone who actually books tickets. When a wide-body operates domestically, the main cabin is still priced at main cabin fares. You're not paying a lie-flat premium just because you happen to be on a wide-body. What happens is that some of those premium Delta One seats configured for passengers spending 12 hours over the Atlantic end up available on a five-hour domestic turn. And when those seats don't sell at full fare, or when the award redemption math works in your favor, you can end up flat in a business class suite at a fraction of what that product would cost on an international routing. Travel analysts who track this stuff call it a gauge mismatch. The aircraft assigned to the route carries more premium seats than the route might otherwise justify. And that creates a dynamic where the premium cabin is accessible in ways it normally isn't. Here's how it works in practice. Delta sells Delta One on domestic routes either as an upgrade from main cabin, sometimes available at check-in for a few hundred dollars on the same day, or as a SkyMiles redemption. Because Delta One is priced and marketed primarily around international flying, the domestic redemption value on a wide-body operated transcontinental route can line up better than most people expect. The strategy is simple. Check the equipment before you book. If the route shows an A350 or a 767, you're on wide-body metal, and that changes what's available to you. Now, let's talk about the operations side of this, because that's where it gets genuinely interesting. A wide-body domestic turn is operationally heavier than a narrow-body. You need a flight crew with a wide-body type rating. The A350 is a Category D aircraft for approach purposes, higher approach speeds, longer runways preferred, specific ground handling requirements that differ from a 737 or an A320. Gate compatibility matters. Not every terminal can handle an A350 at every slot, and some airports have had to coordinate their ramp logistics when widebodies show up on routes that previously saw nothing bigger than a 757. For pilots, this expansion has real career implications. If you're working your way toward a major carrier, or you're already flying narrowbodies at one, the growth of domestic widebody operations means type ratings on large cabin aircraft now carry domestic value, not just international bid value. Delta flying a 350s on JFK to LAX means those trips need qualified crews, and that's biddable flying for people inside the wire who hold the rating. The calculus around pursuing a widebody type rating is shifting. The aircraft themselves are also worth understanding on their own terms. The A350 uses Rolls-Royce Trent XWB engines. The cabin noise profile on an A350 is noticeably different from the CFM LEAP engines on an A320 or the CFM56 on an older 737. Quieter, more insulated. The pressurization on the A350 also runs at a lower effective cabin altitude than older narrow-body designs, which translates to less fatigue on longer segments. If you've ever arrived at a 5-hour domestic destination feeling more worn out than the flight length should justify, some of that is cabin altitude. Newer widebodies manage that better. The 767-400 is worth mentioning separately. Delta has operated 767s domestically for years on certain transcontinental routes, so the widebody domestic concept isn't new for them. What's new in June 2026 is the scale. The fleet assignment is broader, the seat count is higher, and the routes covered represent a more deliberate strategic commitment rather than a situational deployment. The broader trend driving all of this is a shift in how the major carriers think about domestic revenue. For most of the industry's history, domestic flying was treated as the commodity end of the business. Get passengers from A to B efficiently. The money was in the international premium cabin. That calculus has changed. The corporate traveler flying coast to coast every week has become a serious revenue center for the big three, and United, Delta, and American are all competing hard for that customer. United's Polaris product on transcontinental routes out of Newark and O'Hare, American's flagship suite on JFK routes. Delta's June widebody push is partly a competitive response to those products and partly Delta doubling down on a strategy that's working. They want the traveler choosing between carriers for a JFK to LAX flight to know that Delta has a lie-flat seat on that route and that the competitor flying a 737 does not. There's also a fleet utilization angle here that pilots and aviation geeks will recognize immediately. Airlines don't like their aircraft sitting. A widebody parked overnight that isn't generating revenue is an expensive problem. When international routes don't fill the schedule efficiently, gaps between long-haul turns, seasonal thinning of transatlantic demand, maintenance rotations, the smart move is to keep those aircraft productive on domestic flying. It's not charity, it's operations, research. And when an A350 configured for a 12-hour transatlantic run does a 5-hour domestic turn, the passenger experience is frankly better than what that aircraft was designed to minimize discomfort for. You're getting an international business class seat for a domestic flight. That's a good deal for whoever's sitting in it, and a revenue line Delta is clearly willing to pursue. So what do you do with this information if you're booking travel this summer? Check the aircraft before you buy. Delta's booking tool will show you the equipment assigned to each flight. An A350 or 767 on a domestic route tells you something about what's available in the premium cabin. Run the SkyMiles search too. Award availability on widebody domestics can be favorable in ways that don't show up on international award charts. Be aware that equipment swaps happen. A widebody scheduled on a route can become a narrowbody if maintenance or operational factors require it. Delta will usually notify you, but if the cabin experience is specifically what you're booking for, check the equipment close to departure. And if you're a pilot watching this as career context, widebody type ratings on domestic schedules are worth paying attention to. The domestic market is no longer just narrowbody flying. The equipment mix is getting more interesting, and so is the flying. Sources today include Simple Flying and Delta Airlines published route data. More at radiohangar.com. I'm Tower. Safe skies.